just guessing. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Oh, yeah. Hey, welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Welcome, family. We just talked, didn't we, about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago? Things are getting intense in the world today, and gosh, I don't know, I'm guessing here, but I'd say equivalent to 90% of the American population, man, don't have an idea. Your talk shows are talking about stuff that really don't matter. Some of them are hitting places that your health, foods, health stuff, this, that, and the other. And the others that are, you know, like your Alex Joneses and all these are controlled opposition. They hit certain places that, you know, you have to hear about. But then you got to figure out, well, how much of it's fear-mongering, how much of it's real. And never come to a conclusion. So you take, eat the chicken, spit out the bones. And on the pulpits, oh my goodness. I don't know about y'all, family, but I tell you what, on the Facebook and some YouTubes, it's like there's a major effort all of a sudden of those that's anti-King James Bible, Jesus is an alien, groupies are coming out of the woodwork. All of a sudden, I mean, they always have been coming out, but man, it's just all of a sudden, it's like they're traveling in packs. And then you're like, well, you know, wait a minute. And so you go back to recheck maybe some of the, and it's obvious that people don't have the knowledge, and yet they spell off like they're the experts. You know, I'm not an expert. I read, and there it is in the truth, King James Bible, or your truth tellers that you've researched, the individuals that you know tell the truth, and you clearly connect the dots. It's right there in front of you. Don't take Sherlock Holmes or even Watson. Not even Columbo. I know some of you are probably saying, who's Columbo? You younger folks out there. To figure out how these events are all connected. And, you know, and that designing your own religion doesn't work. How do you do that? They pick and choose religious doctrine like it was a smorgasbord or a salad bar. I like a little of that and a little of that, a little carnation and reincarnation. Yeah, I put that in there. Oh, let's see, universalism, I like a little bit of that. And that Calvinism stuff, yeah, how about the first and second point? I don't like those other 3 points, the 5 point. But I like the first two, so let's put that in the bag. And I don't know, let's see, what other kind of religions can I pull out here? Oh, yeah, Buddha. I don't know, you know, a lot of donuts there, yeah. But I like a little part of that, and Confucius, just pick and choose a religion. Well, have you checked that with God yet? I mean, has he approved it? Have you, or do you just, we just allows us to pick our own religion as we go along? Okay, I created the universe for you, the world for you, done all this for you. Now, I'm just going to let you all play. Just have at it. Come up with your own religion. Come up with your own doctrine. Don't worry about it. A little murder here, a little rape over there. Yeah, got to learn what you know. I learn a little bit, right? And I'll come up with Krishna or what goes around comes around or charisma or what do you call it? What is it? Mess. They always got a name for it. It's mind-boggling. Like we can have the wisdom as human beings to see the supernatural and pick our own planet that you want to live. What? Just because you believe it don't mean it's true. God's got one standard. It's not seven. Not Krishna, Buddha, Bodhisattva. The Christ is not Jesus Christ. Imam Mahdi. Everybody's got one. You notice that? And they all have different doctrine. And yet they all come in together. How does that work? Somebody's got to be lying. How come people can't see that? When I was a teenager, I saw, I still doing other things, but I said, you know, this is really confusing because over here you got Buddhism and reincarnation. Over here, when I studied world religions, you got, you know, Mormonism. I can inherit a planet. Ooh, I like that idea. I want me one with a lot of gold and diamonds on it. Yeah, you know. And then I can reincarnate. Can I reincarnate on my other planet? You know, keep it continuously, not give it up. I mean, where do you draw the line? When I was in high school, I used to believe that, well, every religion is just based on that culture that believes that way is okay. That's what I used to believe. It made sense. It was logical at that point. But when I started learning the truth about it, I realized it wasn't logical at all. Even Bertrand Russell, an atheist and humanist and what have you, he actually said something astute on a positive note, although not a positive theology, but he actually made some sense. Bertrand Russell said, who was an avid atheist, by the way, he said, all religions can be false, but only one could be true. And he's right, sort of. Only one can be true, but family, today, past 20, 30 years or so, all religions are false. All religions have corrupted doctrine. You see, Jesus Christ is not about religion. Jesus Christ is not about a cathedral with a lot of painted windows or a pair of rosary beads, or not of a church or a chapel or some preacher that you really like because he speaks real well and his wife makes really good apple pie and she does a lot of good bakeries. Who cares? Once the words come out of the mouth is what matters. Or a synagogue. Oh, I really like our synagogue. Have you ever seen our cathedral? Have y'all ever seen our church? Come on down. We got chairs, seats like a stadium. It's beautiful there. We can get coffee out there. Y'all come down anytime. It's not that at all. It's whether you're under an oak tree with two or three others and you're worshiping the Savior. Now you got yourself a real church. Now that's a church. That's exactly a Catholic's. That's the church that he was talking about, Peter building a rock. It's on a rock under an elm tree. It's a church that he's talking about, not some cathedral, synagogue, or evangelist tent. It doesn't matter. Where three or more, two or more are gathered, that's the church they're talking about. Not a religion, not Baptist, not Methodist, not Presbyterian, not the synagogue, not the cathedral, not the a set group or whatever. That takes on a whole new meaning these days, don't it? Not that at all. Not some guru that you like because he's real chummy, or some preacher that you like. That liking him doesn't have anything to do with anything. Now, when he starts preaching the wrong gospel, he can be my brother, my family. I'm out of there, man. I'm done. Well, who are you to say? I'm nobody, but I can sure read. That comes in real handy when you're studying the Word of God. Real handy. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast and talk tonight a little bit about the war in heaven, the end times events. Tonight, a little more detail, put some other things in perspective tonight. And some general commentary about some issues that are in the Bible we'll speak about. because there's a whole lot of shaking going on around town, especially in the United States. Man, you're being targeted big time. By Christians as well. Huh. On a serious note, very, very heavy. It's getting worse too. As it moves along. This alien issue is going to take everybody by surprise. When's it going to happen? Don't know. That's God's time. God's time and God's time alone. And we can't really second guess him. Shouldn't even try to. Just live your life, but not in fear. Sometimes that's hard to do because of all this fear coming toward us, like a train. Romans 16, 17 to 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine. That's the part they keep leaving out. They say to you, when you start exposing these false teachers like Osteen and Benny Hinn and Joyce Myers and the rest of them, Hagee, Billy Graham now, they're all coming out, to expose those that's going against the scriptures now, they get mad at you. You're causing division and offenses contrary to the Bible. But what they don't say is contrary to doctrine. They don't mention it specifically. And then they definitely don't keep going and say what you've learned and avoid them. They don't say that either. Don't mess with God's anointed. When you're exposing these, you're not. They're not anointed. Romans 16, 18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. You can't say, like Billy Graham said, and Oprah and others that said, you don't have to know the name of Jesus. See, they've all changed now. They're coming out. Unquote there, by the way. Or Galatians 1, 6 to 9. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there is some, be some that trouble you and would prevent the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Then he says that twice. I'd say serious about that. Real serious. And that's what's going on in most all the churches today. Lukewarm throughout. Every now and then you'll spot one that's doing a real word of God, but they're being singled out. Even David Wilkerson was singled out. And indicators are, if you look at his death is very questionable and leans highly, highly toward murdered. Because he was a powerful man. He was speaking the true word of God, David Wilkerson. He would not join the Illuminati. He would not join Freemasons. He would not follow the Baptist Convention, blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. He is preaching true repentance. And end times events right down and look at the crowd he had, because they knew he was telling the truth. He would not join them, therefore he had to go. If you look at his death, you'll find it very, very questionable. Dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to talk about a myriad of things today and tonight. Psalms 83, we're going to bring up. I didn't want to leave that one out. That's important to bring up. They kind of want you to forget about that now. They've been talking about Psalms 83 is today. They keep picking and changing. And I say they, it's nationwide, worldwide, on the internet, the YouTube, E-tube, and some so-called theologians that predict the future and all that sort of thing, write books about it, and they kind of let the book slip away because it failed about Psalms 83. We'll talk about that. And I'll speak a little bit about the rapture, maybe. We'll see where we get. And the end times battles, once again, and some other points. Lord, we come before you in prayer. We pray, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, grant us tonight wisdom, discernment to share in the gospel. Father, to share in the end times events so there'd be no confusion. To guide us in the right path tonight, tomorrow. Father, do forgive us of our sins. Sometimes we get angry, impatient. And Father, to keep us in an even basis, that we, Father, can maintain temperament and meekness to give the right example and to live the way we preach. Because, Father, sometimes we let the flesh get a hold. Forgive us of that, Lord. You see that we can let it go and forgive those. They'll forgive us. Father, to be together. To let go of that pride and that ego. And to not lose perspective of what we're here for. Lord, we pray for returning veterans. That, Lord, there'll be a whistleblower, a real whistleblower. Someone that really cares is up there. That, Lord, will bring out the truth about these suicides. Right now, Father, there's no one there. Lord, there's groups up there, but they're not there to help. So, Father, we need help down here. Father, we pray for children that's being sought after, the abductions for this month, which is a very significant occult uprising. And, Father, to stop these assaults on children, these kidnappings that are for occult purposes. Father, we call upon you to spread the blood of Jesus around us, to give us the words to speak in prayer, to give us the words to speak in Bible studies and explain the events of today. Give us a single-mindedness, a protection, so we focus on what we're doing. And set divine appointments so we can witness to others. Father, that's why we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, if y'all go to Ewens's, you like northern folks. You like that Ewens's, y'all. When you got one person, you say y'all. If you're talking to a bunch, you sometimes will say y'all, or you may say all y'all. You say y'all to one person, we're talking to three of you. Your body, your soul, and your spirit, that's three. So if there's four or five of yous, we say, all y'all, come on down here. And we're talking to a whole bunch of yous. Oh, boy. Psalms 83. Unless you got a little southern culture to you. I used to live in Chicago. I lived in Chicago 4 or 5 years. Washington, D.C. for about 7. You guys knows what I'm talking about. You guys. You say you guys. Down here we say young'uns. It's all colloquial language. Different way of saying certain things. Seems like the same way people look at Scripture. The Bible's pretty clear. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. You can't trust those that come from seminary schools. I mean, literally, you really can't. You have to question. If they come from Harvard or, yeah, I mean this literally, Princeton or some of these major colleges, immediately my flag goes up. And I'm a Nobel Peace Prize winner. And I'm saying, well, now you've exposed yourself to me. I can't buy your book, man. And I mean this literally. Because these are schools of humanism and Marxism, as evidence confirms. Literally. Literally. You see? And you see, so Psalms 83. It says, a song or psalm of Asaph. Keep thy silence. Keep not thy silence. Oops. O God, hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They've taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Well, they sure failed at that, didn't they? For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. Now, in this particular Psalms 83, in the past recent 10 years, or give or take, they've used this Psalms 83 to fit certain wars in the past 10 years. They just put it where they want to apply it, just to keep you all busy. Let's continue. the tabernacles of Edom, and the Ishmaelites, Ishmaelites of Moab, of the Haganese, Hagar from Hagar, Ishmael. See, it goes all the way back. Edom, Edomites, Gibal and Ammon, Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, where the Antichrist is going to come from. Assur, who is joined with them, they've holpen the children of Lot, Selah, doing to them as unto the Midianites, and Sisera, to Jabin, to the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as during dung, as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb, like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zemunai, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. Psalms 83:13. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as a stubble before the wind. 14. As the fire burneth the wood, as a flame setteth the mountains on fire. 15. So persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid of thy storm. 16. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name. O Lord, let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. And 18, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Now let me look at that again. Yep, that says Jehovah. It don't say Yahweh whatsoever. Every time I look at it, I bet you I could turn my computer off and turn it back on. It still says Jehovah. There's no Yahweh in the King James Bible. There's no Yeshua. There's no Jeshua. But there is Jesus in there. Jesus was Jesus in Greek. They changed the J for the I because English is a universal language. God never intended us to learn Hebrew. Now, it would have back in those days if the Israelites, as the Hebrews, had fulfilled the mission that they were set forth to do. But they failed in that mission. So it was passed on to the Gentiles, the time of the Gentiles, who brought the word of God to mankind. There ain't no Hebrew roots of sacred name movement. We're not going, you're not going back to the old law. That's denying Jesus Christ. Then Jesus passed it on to the Greek, to the Gentiles. And in Greek, it went to English. English is the only in the history of man. So you're telling me that Russians, Chinese, Africans, Americans, Scottish, Irish, Cherokee, whatever, we all have to learn Hebrew. Well, no, you don't. Because you have to learn English. Even English is a required language. To get a job with the UN, you have to be able to speak English if you're of any foreign country, which America, your foreign country. But English is accepted word. Language. Not German, not French, not Hebrew. God never intended it. 4 billion, 9 billion, however many people on the earth, people had to learn Hebrew to learn God's word. Or Latin. English. Yet they're trying to get us to go back to the old law, to Hebrew, and stick with that name there. No, doesn't work that way. The word's Jehovah. Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards. Look up Michael Hoggart. Walter Veith, Scott Johnson, and I checked them all out, and they're correct. Yahweh is Satan spelled backwards in the Tetragrammaton, what they call it. Goes back to Talmud and all kinds of nonsense. Psalms 83, 1 to 18. When was that fulfilled, or was it? Is Psalms 83 the same as Ezekiel 38, 39? Is Psalms 83 the end time events? What's Psalms 83? Where does it apply on earth? Because they seem to think about 10 years ago it applies to the wars that was going in, but apparently it didn't. Okay. On May the 28th, in around 1967, and what's ironic about this is that 1966 was a major spiritual awakening from the New Age movement, was announcing in 1966 was major supernatural events taking place. In 1966, the World Trade Center was dedicated September 11th, 1966. Well, not long after that, 1967, Gamal Abdel Nasser, Freemason, by the way, President of the United Arab Republic, he said, quote, "We plan to open a general assault on Israel. This will be total war. Our basic aim is the destruction of Israel." Now, don't that sound kind of like Al-Madima nut job? I know, Al-Jimadad or something like that. I never can say that name the same way twice. So when war broke out on June the 5th, ironic, huh? June the 6th, D-Day? Anyway, June the 5th, 1967. The United Arab Republic was joined by Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Algeria, Sudan, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Morocco. That's rough. And the attempt of this, use the word significantly, confederacy. Significant. And the attempt here was to drive Israel into the sea. It was unsuccessful. So in 6 days, the war is over. Israel was the undisputed victor. 1948 was establishment, and here they sunk their roots into Israel. A lot happened that year, by the way. There weren't any aliens then. And about that same time period, was it 1967? Oh my goodness gracious alive. Oh my. Oh goodness, I just found something. How does it say in the studies, Rocco? June the 5th, war broke out. The United Arab Republics. I just found something, gang. I wasn't aware of. War broke out. June the 5th. United Arab Republic. Yep. Joined by Jordan, Syria, and Iraq. Algeria, Sudan, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Morocco, June the 5th, 1967. Did you know, 3 days later, the same year, that those ratbag Israelis attacked the USS Liberty during the Six-Day War? And did you know that they were going to blame the attack on Egypt? That was started World War III. And do you know that Liberty did not go down? Of course you know that. Did you know that LBJ wanted it sunk to the bottom of the ocean, but it wouldn't sink? This was man's attempt to force the coming of Sananda Manuel, the false messiah, to bring on World War III and a new world order in 1967. Y'all realize what happened in this period of time? Four great men, well, one of them, I don't agree with his theology or his ideology, but wow, so many things happened in 66, 67. Now that starts coming back to me. 2 or 3 years before that, JFK was assassinated. Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, sinking of the USS Liberty, or the attempted USS Liberty when the Israelis tried to murder our people. It wasn't a mistake. They knew what they was doing. And the Johnson administration, connected to the Vatican, wanted that ship sunk to blame it on the Egyptians. Therefore, you get World War III started. Did you know that Albert Pike, in 1873 to 1890, 1873 had planned three world wars, and the third world war was going to be a war between the Zionists and the Arabs. That was supposed to be World War III. It hadn't happened yet, obviously. Between Islam and Zionism. They were trying to get that started that period of time. And it failed to happen. They failed to do it. Why? Because God's in control. Man, it all comes together. They tried Kent State to have us to have a civil war. That's what Malcolm X was all about. That's what Martin Luther King was all about. That's what the riots were all about. Firing at Kent State to see if troops would fire on American citizens. Drugs, all that stuff was involved through Tavistock. Was set to put us in a new world order in the 1960s. They were trying to hurry up something that they had no control over. Wow, it just all comes together. Wow. Everything. And that was 1966. Whoa. In 1966, unbeknownst to a lot of people, oh boy, I tell you, when God opens up the doors, it just gets all kinds of stuff coming out. Now, bear with me here a minute. I'm going to have to check something. 1966, according to the Illuminati, I don't have it ready because I wasn't planning on this coming to light. This is kind of normal, though, I guess, in a way. In the year, maybe I'll find it a little later, 1966, there was a certain influence of the heavens, if you will, ongoing. In that same year that dedicated the World Trade Center, 1966, right before 60, oh, wow, 67, because the next attempt at a world government was going to be 1999. And a re-spiritualization of the Roman Catholic Church was supposed to take place. After that, so they do all these events during certain constellations where it has a certain effect on physics and open up portals. You understand? Sacrifices of human beings of those that would have died in the USS Liberty and those that died in the Six-Day War would have been sufficed enough to cause manifestation of the fallen angels by ritual, dead sacrifice, blood sacrifice. Okay, I got it. That's what was going on during that period of time. In 1966 was a major events occurred. Now I can't find it right this second, the 1966 date, that word for word. But I do recall it. If I find it, I'll bring it up again tomorrow. That's amazing. I never some of this I didn't put together entirely. That is all consolidated in that period of time. And that was what was going on. They needed that sacrifice. And so the World Trade Center had another time frame for the end of the 70-year bank cycle from 1929 to 1999. The 70 years was supposed to take place with what's happening today, with Putin launching an attack, just like he's doing. Out of chaos springs order. And that was supposed to have taken place in that period of time. They needed blood sacrifices. And a lot of these days are like April 19th also, by the way. It has to do with physics and life force that gives up from the death. It's physics and chemistry and biology. I mean, it really works. And it's called alchemy, biological, physical, spiritual alchemy. And it sets up results that can be manifested. Let me mention this again. if I find that 1966 date that's documented, that I can see it again. I do recall it, but I don't have the word for word on it. I do know that 1966 was a major respiritualization and a major event that took place in the heavens. But we're talking constellation, which had an effect, a physics effect on opening up portals, of which they need sacrifices to do so. And that would have served as the sacrifice, the USS Liberty. But it didn't sink. So they were stuck with what they were given at that period of time. So, we're back to Psalms 83. And what are they going to do with Psalms 83 that now is passed by? Now there's talking about Armageddon and Gog and Magog and so forth as a coverall. Everybody's got like Bagley and all the rest of them. They got thrown out all this stuff. Like if an earthquake happens, God or Pat Robinson or God did it. Blame God, because they're a sinful Philippines or a sinful America, sinful whatever. Blame God. God, why'd you do this to us? We hate you. You see, no. God's wrath, there will be no mistake whatsoever. And it won't be something that mankind has developed that God can use. No. Everything that man has, God will take down. And he doesn't need mankind's inventions and coming from Satan to carry out the tribulations. God don't need that. God's going to take it down, then you'll see God's wrath. Hopefully nobody will. That's here, but that's why you got to get right with God so you don't have to worry about it. That's really the bottom line entirely. Is witnessing to God, not about reading the Book of Enoch or UFO whatever. So forth, certainly be around, be able to identify it. But not to have fear of it. So when you start developing fear, then you've pretty much lost your faith. If you have faith, you have no fear of even death. People say, "Yeah, you do that." It says in the Bible not to worry about what you eat. That don't mean you go around eating cotton candy for breakfast. I mean, you know. But one of the biggest things in the South is Diet Cokes for breakfast. Oh, yeah. Man, I go to the supermarket and I see people buy, oh, man, tons and tons of Coke. And, I mean, drink it. Well, Coke that you buy in a can. And I better talk about that. Explain that one. Talk about Coke in a can. You know, that's what they put in Coca-Cola. Back in 1860s to 1970s was cocaine in the Coca-Cola. That was to get people addicted to it. Then it took people off of it. And they changed the formula. Well, it kept you awake, all right. Now they have a different kind of type of medicine. There it is. Okay. It says in the Illuminati textbook, quote, all the forces will be greatly accelerated. It talks about different energies, physics, are drawn and expressed by different formations. That's where the pyramid comes in. Such formations act as magnets and transmitters. There's your pyramids. The Wesak Festival, the Tibetan Masters, your Dalai Lama, that's the enemy that you don't know about. The teaching of the New Age, secular humanism, is unapparent. Now, for example, the triangle, a pyramid, attract different energy than a five-pointed star in rituals and invocations. And they each kind of release energy into the different levels or planes of the second heaven, the principalities. That was the purpose of the Tower of Babel. And these different formations have different functions. Like they attract energies or demons of different levels. They fuse them together. They radiate in proper channels to further the evolution, they say, of humanity. There's your hook. Each degree you go up in Freemasons, they say you're further and further getting closer to Godhood. Now you see the hook on it? So all these forces actually greatly accelerated after the year of 1975. And that was the third level of the New Age movement that Michael Aquino invoked the Prince of Darkness in 1975. We Are All God, Shirley MacLaine. Movies, everything, 1975. And the Tibetan master said at the Wesak of 1975, quote, a powerful energy will be released upon humanity, unquote. Of course, from their perspective, this was a result of man will be able to break through the wall of his ignorance, the chains of his hatreds, separateness, and the prison of the physical limitations. So 75 was when this really started bringing up this New Age thinking, man to become God. Nah, you see how it works? That's where your TBN crowd comes in. Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Copeland, Joyce Myers, all those who say man is like God, that's where all that comes from. Oh, man, they're connected. And they say that these achievements won't happen at once. The information I gather is traced back to the early 70s. So the mystery of the Bodhisattvas is one of those that's going to be part of the Antichrist names. The Krishna, the Christ, the Prince of Peace, Kalki Avatar, Imam Mahdi, Bodhisattva. couple others. They say that Bodhisattvas have been touched by Helena Blavatsky. And until students assimilated, studied what she'd said, there's no more to add to it. Now, they say in their documentation, quote, a very interesting period will come about the year 1966 and will persist to the end of the century. It is one for which the great ones, fallen angels, are already making due preparation. It concerns the centennial effort of the lodge and of the personages taking part therein. And each century sees a centennial effort of the lodge, as fallen angels, along a particular line of force made to forward the ends of evolution. There's your fifth dimension man. And the effort for the 20th century will be upon a larger scale than has been the case for a very long time. It will involve a number of the great ones. That's fallen angels. ...1966 was a great year for them, of bringing a new force in. But then they say, through the vibration thus set up will come the possibility of many who would otherwise not do so, as the sacrifices come in, taking the first initiation, later toward the end of the great cycle, the coming avatar will again employ the vestures with all that is entailed thereby, and will take a physical body, bingo, thus demonstrating on the physical plane the force of the Logos, the administration of the law, when he comes at the close of the century, well, there it is, and makes his power felt. That would be 1999. Right there it is in print, in their textbook. He'll come as a teacher of love and unity and keynote. He'll strike regeneration through love upon and blah, 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 and yada, yada, yada. And so they go on to talk about the great Lord, the energy of the Buddha family. That was supposed to take in place. Wesley Clark was involved with this in June 1999 to start World War III. All this the appearance of the great Lord and the Christ on the astral plane, whether followed by his physical incarnation or not, will date from some certain Wesak festival at which a matrim, known only to those attending the seventh initiation, will be pronounced by the Buddha. Oh, it goes on in more detail. It just described what's supposed to have taken place in 1999. By the year 2000, New World Order, again, tried. And then by 2001, September, that was supposed to be a major sacrifice to open up the portal again to allow those demons to come in this realm. As a purpose of the World Trade Center, dedicated Masonic order. Oh, wow, this is heavy. September 11th, 1966. Pentagon, September 11th, 1941. The Pentagon, September 11th, 1941, and 43, they had set up a New World Order also. That failed to happen. FDR did. Hoo-hoo, man. Oh, it's hot tamale. Anyway. So in Psalms 83, we get specific now. 1967, that puts a whole new light on Psalms 83. Boy, that really adds to it. Now, for many Bible lovers, Psalms 83 took on a new meaning after the Six-Day War, did it not? And in commentary that I researched, they talked about it would have further fulfillments before Israel's claim to the land is irrevocably settled by the coming of the Lord Jesus to reign as king. That'd be an Armageddon. But you go to Psalms 8:3 then, 1 to 5, you start. So now when you look at that Psalms I read, 83, 1 to 5, this is where we separated. The language here is that of besieged Israel. And they're calling on God to break his silence and to act decisively for them. But even though the people are pleading for their own safety in this scripture and their preservation, they also present their case, if you will, where God, his cause as much as their own. He said, your enemies, those who hate you, your people, your sheltered ones, they form a confederacy against you. Well, we're getting down to it now, aren't we? The details are actually true to life. The enemies are in tumult. A vivid description of the blustering threats of the opposition, as it be so. So they laid out these plans that were very clever. They had Soviet Russia acting behind the scenes. Soviet Russia, United States, and Europe are controlled by the Vatican. Hint, hint. They consult together that they've become known as the Arab Summit Meetings. And they threaten the annihilation of Israel, which is part of the par for the course. Depends what decade you're in, that they launch it out every time. Witnessed by the quotation that we've talked about, they have a formidable federation or confederacy of nations. And mostly of people who are near relatives of the Israelites. Is that not World War III by Albert Pike? Yeah, Ishmael, descendants versus Zionists, Jews, which are descendants of Jacob and Isaac. And they're half-brothers. Psalms 83, 6 to 8. You try to identify the nations of the modern counterparts, and you run into some kind of difficulty. When you do this, you know that Assyria is the same as modern-day Iraq. You know that the Ishmaelites descended from Abraham and Hagar, the Egyptian maid or whatever, handmaiden, something like that, were the progenitors of the Arabs. You know that the Edomites and the Amalekites were descended from Esau, and the Moabites from the Ammonites of Lot. But then to trace them today is almost near impossible. But the Philistines inhabited the area now known as the Gaza Strip. So the city of Tyre, if you look on the map, you'll find it's located somewhat now in Lebanon. Gibal is the same as ancient Gubla or Bablos. And say Babylon, Bablos, it's located in Phoenicia. I found some sources that list the Hagrites as descendants of Hagar. That wouldn't be hard to figure in the first place. So a segment of the Ishmaelites, not real positive. You have a lot of obscurity that surrounds these names. It's best not to try to link them with modern counterparts, but simply to use them as representing Gentile foes of Israel. Hard to say which one's which. So how could little Israel stand against such an overwhelming force and confederacy? See, God's people are his, whether we like them or not or whatever, still his people. The sheltered ones, verse 3. His hidden ones. Precious ones. Or those he loves. It's different Bibles. So in the hour of danger, he shields them. Makes his strength perfect in their weakness. That's how he does us. When the odds are all against us and against them at that point, then he sends out a victory that defies all human explanation. He comes through. He shows his strength through our weakness. If you go to Psalms 83, 9 and 10, you have what now is kind of a beleaguered people. They're kind of out of sort. And they call on Jehovah, not Yahweh, Jehovah, and this to deal with the current threat as God did with his enemies on three different occasions in the past many times. Now, you know Jabin was king of Cana, right? Caesarea was his commander-in-chief, and they were killed badly at Endor. They didn't die heroically. They just died ingloriously. And this is after a disastrous defeat at the Brook Kishon, Judges 4. And their smelly, decaying carcasses was fertilizer for Israel's soil. Then in 83:11-12, Oreb and Zeb, two princes of Midian, were killed, heads cut off, and according to Isaiah, is an epic slaughter. 2 kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, they threatened to occupy the pastures of God. They managed to escape from the Israelites when Oreb and Zeb were slain. But then they were overtaken later and executed by Gideon. Now, when you move up to Psalms 83, between 13 and 18, we look at in the bold plea for God's judgment on the foes, Israel leaves nothing to the divine imagination. Does this sound a little familiar? It's going to happen in the first half of the tribulation. The details of his punishment then was specified and say, let them be like the whirling dust, or some translate it, like a tumbleweed. Let them be like the chaff driven before the wind. Let them be pursued as if by fire sweeping through the woods, and consumed as if by a raging holocaust. And then let them be terrified, horrified by the Lord's storm, and put to shame, so that men might seek the Lord. And as the scriptures move on, to perish in disgrace, so that men might learn that Jehovah alone is the sovereign ruler over all the earth. So those that purvey the Joel's army, mankind is going to fight for God. Yes, since when? And take the glory for it? It ain't going to happen. White hats. All better wake up. It's strong language, but not unjustified. So in the honor of God's at stake, love can be firm. And you had a theologian named Morgan. He said, I quote, these singers of the ancient people were all inspired supremely with a passion for the honor of God. With them, as with the prophets, selfish motives were unknown. Selfishness sings no song and sees no vision. On the other hand, a passion for the glory of God is capable of great sternness as well as great tenderness. Unquote. So was the Six-Day War the fulfillment of 83? Psalms 83. Because the next one is going to be World War II. Is that also a fulfillment of Ezekiel 38:39? Psalms 83, the same thing? Doesn't seem so. These are three different. Fulfillment of 83, 1967. Ezekiel 38:39, second seal, World War III, the real one. Armageddon after 7 years of tribulation. It's God versus Satan and the fallen angels and their transhumanized army and military. Gog and Magog after the thousand-year tribulation. After the thousand-year millennium. Well, we got a long ways to go. And a short time to get there. Watch old Bandit run. Because, family, we're right about there. We have a chaotic situation that's got to take place somewhere along the way to bring on the first seal. The first seal will be mankind is going to destroy each other. And here comes Sanat Emanuel, fallen angel, and UFO, blitter bladder. That will be the first seal. Peace and safety. Finally, we all together. Illuminati and the aliens were defeated. The evil ones, the reptilians have gone. Hooray, hooray. Peace and safety. Oh, Antichrist brings in people together from the Ashtar Command or whatever. Maitreya, Sananda. Everybody's got everything paid off and everything's happy and all this and all that. And boy, it just gets ugly. When Israel signs a peace covenant with the Antichrist, don't you know that's going to piss them off? That's going to tick off God in a bad way. His holy city turning against him after all he's done. And we in it. Ooh, that's a lot of information. My head's spinning. So, family, really, if you take Jesus Christ as Savior, you rest in His Word and won't worry about all this stuff. You'll be able to take action, do what you got to do, but let the Holy Spirit guide you. It's going to be trying times, to say the least. That's an understatement. So that's Psalms 83. A little study of it. And really the controversy is whether Psalms 83 and Ezekiel 38-39 are one and the same. And one speaks of the other. Seems like it's a different one. Now, we're talking about, we're going to talk about the rapture a little bit. Boy, you sure stepping that one, can't you? You know, Jesus said that no one would know the exact day or hour of his return. He said, not even the angels in heaven, nor his son, but only the Father. Find that in Matthew 24:36. But, you know, from a multitude of prophecies, it's given concerning Christ's second coming, God wants us to know when this time will draw near, the season that's going to happen. Season encompasses about 3-4 months. Same may be said of concerning the rapture as well. There's several different views of this rapture thing. Two primary views have come up during the church, within the church, regarding the time when God would rescue his people from the remnant, from the earth. Tribe of Dan folks say that was going to remove the wicked first, but then that sword blows the King James Bible out the window. Then why would you have the tribulation if the wicked's going to be removed? That blows the automatically takes the Bible out of the picture. If God was going to allow them to remove the evil first, what would be the purpose of tribulation then in the first place? Who's going to fight who in the first place? It wouldn't be, so it's nonsense. One view became popular in the 1800s, 19th century, and it pretty much lays out that God will take Christians from the world before the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Well, it's referred to as a pre-tribulation rapture theory, according to this view. You read it. Christians will be referred to in the New Testament as being alive during the tribulation, or new Christians who accept Christ as a rapture and then follow the rapture. And this other view contends that Christians will go through the entire tribulation period, not being rescued, until the actual second of coming of Jesus Christ. That's known as post-tribulation period. Or mid-tribulation period, obviously, what that one is. Post-tribulation has been the more traditional view in some churches. But other less accepted views that exist place a rapture at some point in time during the seven-year period. So this question of the rapture remains a source of debate within the church. And by the way, debating is against the Bible anyway. Look it up. Bad, too. This stuff with homosexuals, murder, and debate. And God ain't playing around. They also say that God will spare the church. He'd never allow Christians to endure such hardship and persecution, really. But people kind of forget that the early church was martyred for the sake of Christ. Almost all of them died of the disciples of Jesus at the face of persecution. Jesus hadn't forgotten them. And what about the millions of faithful Christians and of our own generation who suffered death and persecution at the hands of the communists who were led by the Vatican? Ooh, not going to like that, but that's what's going on. The Vatican controls communism, fascism, Nazism, Christianity, the whole lot of it. Call it dialectic. And there's some people, some believers, will confuse Satan's persecution of the Christians with God's judgment of the sinful, unrepentant world. Many Christians won't believe that Christians were persecuted because God would never judge his own. And we don't believe his corrupt Bibles. God wouldn't allow any corrupt Bibles. I got news for you. He's got one preserved and the others are Satan's. And those accepting these Bibles, the ones that's allowing it. Fact is, the earthly persecution of Christians wasn't about God's judgment. It was Satan, the prince of this world, who persecutes us. So God's judgment will fall only upon those who denied him, rebelled against him. And the persecution of God's people is a result of Satan's lashing out in anger against those as unable to deceive or overcome. He'll go at you from different angles. He'll go to extremes in a supernatural way. So, during the Great Tribulation period, that's in the book of Revelation, the entire root of God's wrath will be poured out upon those who take the mark. So, plagues will be in the form of this wrath. And it will be later, still later, will be followed by his judgment. And that is eternal damnation. Not what Swedenborg says, annihilation. It's damnation. Eternally. Revelation 14, verses 9 to 12. And so then what you have really is Satan's fury upon the children of the one he hates. That be us. But on the other hand, his fury will be experienced by those who do not take the mark or bow to worship him out of ego and pride. How dare you not take the oath? The persecution may be in the form of imprisonment, torture, even death. As Christians, you should draw comfort from the fact that Satan's persecution is limited to this world. But God's punishment, principal punishment, against the wicked will last for eternity. Family, that's a long time, to say the least. And you know, this battle is ongoing. It's part of the spiritual warfare being waged between God and Satan over our souls. And that's the purpose of what's going on today. Not about the health care bill and all that stuff. That's to keep you all busy. Oh, yeah, you fight against it. You do petitions and you do all that stuff. Whatever your divine appointment sets you up. But keep the bigger picture and not the microscope. You want a bigger picture view of this. You know what? Paul was the most resilient and dedicated follower of Christ in the early church. He suffered more tragedy, pain, and suffering than anybody else of his time. Wherever he went, and he's eventually then put to death. So, was this God's judgment against Paul? No, it wasn't. It was Satan's persecution against an unswerving man of God. So, Paul understood this. He knew this very well. And he was a tactician. He knew what he was doing. He took comfort in the fact that he was being afflicted, kind of like Job. He knew his problems were a direct result of his faithful service to Christ, the way he kept things in perspective. So when you start off in the first century church and continue to the present day, you'll find that those who suffered the greatest persecution have been those who were closest to God, not Christians. If a Christian was closest to God than the other one, well, then guess which one's going to get taken? That's my point. It's closer to God in the heart, not by the donations or hosts and bacon sales or all this other stuff. It's your free acceptance and his free gift. Going back to the 70s, it's no longer taught that crosses in life must precede the crown, but they must. What did Jesus say to him? He said, well, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Your sin. John even recorded Jesus saying, no servant is greater than his master. Well, that great tribulation, you'll know when it happens. If we have to face that type of persecution or deception, what can you do to prepare for it?
What can I do?
Well, we'll mention a little bit here. Be an informed, educated Christian in the truth. That's one of the first steps right there. And these churches, organizations, and movements and all that stuff, they're not following scripture, they're not following doctrine, I get out of there. Some of them are racist. What's this? Racist. What is going on? And they're really adamant against homosexuality entirely. Well, the Bible is too. But the Bible's also intolerant of adultery, drunkenness. You get it? Not just, what's this, so you're adulterous homophobia? Oh, you're homophobia. You're anti-Semite. You see how it works? Man, these people are good. And it works in generations. Here's where you put on the full armor of God. In Ephesians. Then 6 to 10 to 13. So being informed, educated Christian. And then number 2, draw near to Christ. If you love me, you will obey what I command, unquote. You either love him or you don't. You love God? Yeah, I do. I love Jesus Christ and God. Yeah, oh yeah. Uh-huh. Let me be put to the test. Need to keep your life in proper perspective. Remind ourselves continuously of the real reason we're here, which is to love, serve, and please God. See, you have changes in the Bibles, changing the Son of God to servant. Now, we all could be servants, but we all cannot be the only begotten Son of God. See the tricky? It's really tricky there. That's why they changed the name to servant, from son to servant. Well, you're a servant, aren't you? Well, it depends. You follow Jesus Christ, don't you? Yeah. Then you're a servant of Christ. And you look at Hebrew, and they get all this rigmarole about Hebrew and Greek, and they go through all this elaborate stuff. See? And they finish it up, and they'll always tell you, see? Well, who are you going to follow? To have him get through difficult times, for his spirit to draw near to you. You've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We all can be servants. We all can be sons of God after you take Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what that means. But we can never be the only begotten Son of God. And you can't be a begotten Son of God and a servant at the same time. Jesus Christ was God incarnated human flesh. In reference to the scriptures written, this is how they say the Son of God. You can't claim that. The Son of God. No. We're sons and daughters of God. Yeah. Oh, big difference there. They jump on that too, don't they? So do I bring it down and say, well, Jesus is in his Bible is called a servant? Yeah, well, so are we. So, that don't work that way. But this is a trick that they're pulling. It's not accidental. Oh, they're sneaky. They'll make friends with you first. So, that's where we seek God totally. And this is, it's getting down to it now, you know. We're coming down to the final throes in the season, if you will. And you know that we have so great a hope that You shouldn't fret over what you may happen to your possessions or your bodies. Rather, seek God wholeheartedly and submit our lives to Him on a daily basis. Let Him decide where we go. And that depends on whether you take Jesus as Savior or not. You go closer and closer to Him, especially these days and times. First of all, you got to understand that what is it, what God's done for you and us, all of us, through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God sent His Son to die in our place so we might be saved from the penalty of our sins. Had we been made perfect, this would not have been necessary. We could have entered heaven on our own merits. But that's not what happened. You know what's interesting in John 3:16? Let's take a peek at that one. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, something don't sound right about that, does it? Let me tell you why. In the King James Bible, check this out, John 3:16, same verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see how important that is? Now, you think changing that word made a difference? Yeah, that's why they changed it, to water it down. Let me explain it further. In the Bible, we're all the sons of God through the virtue of taking Jesus Christ as Savior. So they've reduced it down to that he's either one of the sons of God or a servant. Now, can any of us say we're the only begotten Son of God? Oh, no, you better not. Oh, you better not. If you say that, I'm a begotten Son of God. Man, I ain't walking with you on a lightning day. No, sir. I'm going to walk away from you. I'll wear a pair of really big rubber-soled boots on. No, sir. No, won't be doing that after you say those words. He gave His one and only Son. Wait a minute, I'm a Son of God because I took Him as a Savior. See the confusion? But you can't say begotten Son of God. That leaves it just one. And that's why they took that out. By design. Wes Cottonhort, late 19th century. How about that? A night of discovery for me. There's a lot, some things I figured out that I hadn't really thought about tonight. That's how it works. That's how it works. You know, Lucifer was, first of all, what did God do? God created man perfect without sin. Had no blood in the veins. Man was flesh and bone. No blood. No heart to beat the blood because it didn't need blood. When you're created perfect for eternal, you don't have blood. However, He gave man the freedom to make decisions. It's called free will. That included the right to choose between obeying God or following the empty lies and temptations of Lucifer or Satan. And so Lucifer, and that's the correct name for him. They try to get you on that one. Latin for light bringer. He is once a powerful angel who rebelled against God and wanted to be as God himself. And self-pride, arrogance, convinced the other and one-third of the angels to fall with him. Big mistake. He wanted to be like God. They try to tell you in those verses that this is really the king of Babylon in Isaiah 14:12, but it's not. He felt removed from God's presence and became known as Satan. He changed the name. Then Adam sinned and the seed became corrupted, passed on through Noah. Man, Noah was perfect in his generation. That's what that means. But didn't have Nephilim blood in him like the others did that died in the flood. Sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. In this way, death came to all men because all sinned. That's where it blows the alien idea out the window. And also, the pre-Adamite races, before Adam there was humankind created, it blows out now the water too. It kills two birds with one stone. How's that for a turkey shoot? So family, seeking Jesus Christ as Savior, looking at the bigger picture can help you cut through the mustard. And God will hear your prayer if it comes from a sincere heart. And he'll know the difference. You can't fool God. I don't believe in God. You don't. So I guess you believe in evolution? Or you just don't think about it? Hope it'll just go away. Because if you don't believe in God, you have to believe in evolution. Believe in evolution, then you believe in something that's scientifically impossible. Evolution is impossible from the physical realm. Nothing advances forward. It goes backwards. It rusts, rot, used up. And mutation means it's missing something. Hence Neanderthal. Ah. Evolution's impossible. So that means something happened. Life didn't create itself from nothing. That's not even debatable. You say intelligent design to satisfy the Christians. Intelligent design. Okay, who's the intelligence that designed it? Sanand Emanuel, fallen angel, aliens? I thought so. No, sir. Not so. Jesus Christ, God incarnated human flesh. As you walk in your walk, there'll be moments of difficulty and distress when your faith is tested. Your endurance. When these times arrive, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4, King James Bible. You're not alone in your struggle. Millions of other Christians are facing the same obstacles that you are. But remember 1 Corinthians 9. Verses 24-25. Know ye not that they which run in your race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we are incorruptible. 9:26. I therefore to run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, don't waste your time, but fight for something. And that something is Jesus. And his only true word is King James Bible. And boy, they coming after it, tooth and nail, hard as they can. Someone said the King James is corrupt Bible. I use the NIV. What? You use, really? So the NIV has the same scriptures that the King James has. But the NIV is missing over 200 verses. And you say, what now? Now, I don't know what they're thinking, man, because they're trying to it doesn't make any sense at all. Well, I like the King James. It's got very nice language. It's poetic. It's one of my favorite Bibles. But I like several. You what? You like, what are you talking about? Yeah, I read several Bibles and several commentaries. No Bible's really inerrant. And I say, says who? And he says you, because the Bible says otherwise, that the inerrant Word of God has been preserved. So then I ask them, hold on a minute. Hold on, Cletus. Hold on a second. Back up. Then you're telling me that, okay, well, what Bible do you recommend I get? And watch them squirm. Every time. They won't answer that question. I say, it's something like, well, if you want to be that way, or do something to wriggle out of it. Because they know they don't have one. When they say, well, I use the ESV or I use the NIV. Well, no problem. You pull out. You do you? Okay, well, I got a question. Show me Matthew 17:21. Can you read that for me? You know him very well. He won't be able to. I got a list of 17 here I use for that. If they're crazy enough to go ahead and try to find it, I just kind of sit back and wiggle my nose a little bit. Oh, well. Can't find it, huh? Because it's not there. They removed it and didn't even bother to renumber it. You've got over 200 verses like that. Just the NIV. Owned by Rupert Murdoch, by the way, who owns Satan's Bible at the same time. Oh, that's a fox in the hen house. His parishioners, Rick Warren. Oh, boy. Birds of a feather. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Family, get right with God. Don't wait around. What's it all about? Lord, we thank you for being able to come together tonight in another Bible study. Lord, guide us through our lives and our days as we come closer to that time. Protect our families as we lift them up to you. Show us how to put on the spiritual warfare as we pray. Submit to you. Carry out your word. Because we know that our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. That casting down our imaginations and that every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And it brings in captivity every thought and the obedience of Christ. And being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So to put trust in armaments and possessions, not remember and put our trust in the Lord my God and everlasting Father. And blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Remind you all that we're played up there in highpointradio.net in Pennsylvania, New York, and New Jersey. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, at highpointradio.net, and Thomas at Blue Raven Network, KBLU Radio. And y'all visit my website, watchmenforjesus.com. Watchmenforjesus.com. And I have a Facebook, Watchmen for Jesus, and boy, it's getting hit hard too lately. But we have quadrupled our numbers of what this thing they call likes. I've still not quite got the hang of this technology and numbers and names and I don't know what else in Facebook, but it's like 1,700 now. Something like that. The family, you all do everything on your own because you're never on your own with the Holy Spirit there with you. But these churches are falling away fast. numerous. Just be ready. Whereas two or more are gathered, that is your church. It's between you and God through Jesus Christ. That's your connection. That's it. It's not about loving some preacher, some pastor, rabbi, or pope or priest. Why? They got their own problems to deal with, and that's through Jesus. They got to somehow deal with them on their own. Not about supporting a religion or four walls or an individual that's preaching. It's about you and Jesus Christ. That's it, man. That's all. Not about country or patriotism or sovereignty, a Bill of Rights, the Constitution, and blah, blah, blah. All that stuff is keep us all divided, busy, and at odds. Matter of fact, that's what it's created for. That was the reason of it. Patriotism was designed to have wars. Flags and all that stuff. That, think about it for a minute. That's what that's all about. It's not in God's plan. Boy, that really upsets the history books, don't it, in the way we were taught. It's about Jesus, man. Jesus is one. All right, y'all have a good night. Before I get started for another half hour. Sorry. I get going on sometimes. Tomorrow, 4 o'clock to 6. And 4 to 6. Broadcast. And then tomorrow night, 7:30 to 9, Bible study. So y'all have a good night. God bless. And this is Watchman signing off. Yes.
And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.
Good night, God bless, and the broadcast will continue with this 24-hour loop once we sign off. Signing off. Good night.